Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Thursday edition of the Locked On Pistons podcast. I'm your host, Matt Shook, and you can follow me on Twitter at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, and then another underscore after that. We also got the Locked On Pistons Twitter account rolling strong as well. We're talking about a team on a 7-game losing streak, but we are podcasting anyways as life goes on. Apparently, there's lots of snow this week in Detroit, and I hope you guys are enjoying that. I was home over the weekend and really forgot about how much I loved driving in the snow. I lived for 3 years in the Virgin Islands and haven't had a car since I moved to Chicago last year. I know that's blasphemy for a Motor City kid, but not only do I think not having a car is great, I kind of think if you're a fool to have one. My dad was driving me to the airport on Monday, and it was just miserable taking that what's normally about a 35-minute drive to Metro Airport turned into about an hour and a 15 minutes or something like that. But it's very freeing to not have a car. You guys should consider it, and it's sad. I'm sad about the day that I might have to get one again someday, which I'm sure will happen someday down the road, so to speak. So today we're going to be talking about the Atlanta Hawks, the Thursday night opponent for the Pistons. I also got a lot of great responses on Twitter about how you would fix the Pistons. So we're going to be talking about that and going through those and giving my reaction to some of those as well. But if you still have others, feel free to send them along my way still on Twitter at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, and another underscore for that, or through the Locked On Pistons account as well, or email me anytime about anything you'd like, Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com. I've enjoyed interacting with a lot of you listeners on Twitter, email, and through Facebook as well, so keep that rolling. But hey, the Pistons are just 3.5-point favorites against the league's worst team on Thursday night in Atlanta, so if you're putting a little action on that game and believe in this team still, which I'm guessing many of you still do, I've got a great idea for you. And holiday cash, you need it too, and I know where to get it. MyBookie is the place to score some serious cash on your sports predictions. Believe it or not, it's holiday time, and while that means plenty of parties, gifts, and spending, it also means there's lots of football, basketball, and hockey games that you can score big on every day. Man up and play like the pros on game day. You can play the money line, side bets, or total. And MyBookie is your hookup for all your betting needs and offers up super fast payouts when you win. Where you bet is just as important as who you're betting on. And if you want to make money betting through the games, you got to go to mybookie.ag. They're the only site that I would recommend. They have odds on every matchup and a mobile site that makes wagering on your smartphone a breeze. You can join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit with up to a 50% bonus. Go ahead and use the promo code LOCKEDONNBA to activate this offer. So go to mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, and you get paid. Gamble responsibly while you're at it, though. Make sure to do that. And the Pistons are not playing responsibly lately. They are 14-13, and as we mentioned, on the 7-game losing streak right now. And they are in danger on Thursday night of falling to 500 for the first time since being 2-2 after the loss at home in the second week of the season to Joel Embiid and the Philadelphia 76ers, a game that I was at Little Caesars Arena in downtown Detroit. Thursday's game is at 7:30 p.m. Eastern time against the 6-21 Atlanta Hawks, who are playing host to the Pistons in Atlanta. That 6-21 record is the worst in the NBA. But like Greg Kelser, Special K, was talking about on Tuesday night during the telecast against the Denver Nuggets, it's really hard to dig out of a long losing streak, but playing a tanking team that really sucks makes it a lot easier for the Pistons tonight. This will be the first of a quick 2-game road swing for Detroit, and they will be on a back-to-back on Friday night, Indiana, to play the red-hot Pacers before returning home Sunday for 1 game against the Orlando Magic. And Atlanta, they are really bad. Coach Budenholzer is making his money this year having the young Hawks play hard. They had a 2-point win against the Cleveland Cavaliers a few weeks back, and then the next game had a close loss against Boston. But other than that, it's been not at all good for them right now. The Hawks are 21st in offensive rating as a team and 29th in defensive rating. I cover the NBA here on the podcast, so I'm obligated to bring up team offensive and defensive rating. That stat is just so hot right now with NBA on NBA Twitter and everyone covering the league. But that 29th rated defense could be the cure for what ails Detroit's struggling offense. Or this could be the game that sent fans over the edge, as an 8-game losing streak would be the longest since a 10-gamer that the Pistons had in the 2014-15 season, which was Stan Van Gundy's first in Detroit. And that season also had a 13-game losing streak at the beginning. If you remember, that team was 5-23 at one point, and that's before that 10-game losing streak came in February and March. My God, that first Stan Van Gundy season, I know we all kind of blacked it out of our minds, but at least that led to the drafting of Stanley Johnson. That's my little dig at some of you who are just about fed up with Stanley Johnson. I'm not quite in that camp, but I can understand the frustration with the young small forward and the struggles that he's having so far this season. But back to Atlanta, John Collins, the rookie from Wake Forest, he's out with a shoulder injury right now. He's missed 6 straight games, but he's been practicing lately with the G League team in Erie, Pennsylvania, the BayHawks. I think it's pretty weird, by the way, that the Hawks G League team is in Erie, Pennsylvania. That doesn't really seem to make a lot of sense, geographically speaking, or anything else. There must be a lot of Atlanta Hawks fans and Detroit Tigers fans in Erie because the Tigers AA team is there also. It's strange. It's a strange fan base for a minor league city. But I'm talking about maybe going on a road trip there with some of my friends this summer, as now that the Tigers are going to be so bad, we got to check up on the Mud Hens and Erie and the White Caps in West Michigan as well. Start thinking about those prospects and looking ahead to 5 years from now when the team might be pretty good again someday. But another legit player that the Hawks have is also out, as Dewayne Dedmon is gone for a few games. This team is bad, and they are banged up even with having a bad roster to begin with. Ersan Ilyasova is starting for them right now. A guy named Tyler Kavanaugh started on Tuesday against Cleveland. I've never heard of him in my life. Apologies to Tyler Kavanaugh, but apparently he played at George Washington, and he might be a rookie. I have no idea. If you have any idea who Tyler Kavanaugh is, let me know. But they got Torian Prince, they got Dennis Schroeder, they got Kent Bazemore. That's pretty much their team right now. Those three are legit NBA players on the perimeter. They have a Plumlee, but I guess who doesn't these days? Bellinelli comes off the bench. I don't know. If the Pistons lose this game, we've got real problems. But before that, before you get that negative about losing to the Hawks, possibly, I really think you should consider signing up for mybookie.ag. So that's another tease for them. But we're going to be talking about how you would fix the Pistons. If you have trade ideas, lineup ideas, rotation ideas, I reached out on Twitter early in the day on Wednesday, got a lot of great responses, so we're going to go through those. But if your company is interested in men between the ages of 18 and 44, then your company should be sponsoring this podcast. Locked on Pistons is listened to by 98% men and 80% between the ages of 18 to 44. So if you want men in that coveted 18 to 44 demographic, then this is your spot. Plus, our rates are reasonable. So email me at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com to find out more. Yes, sir! Well, like probably many of you, I'm not feeling so great this week, so I figured I'd relinquish some of my hosting duties to you guys for the Locked On Pistons fans this week. But I got a suggestion as well, and I want to tell you a little bit later what basketball fans in Michigan need to be doing this weekend. But I reached out on Twitter with the Locked On Pistons Twitter feed and asked you what you would do to fix the Pistons right now, whether it's long-term, short-term, end this losing streak, getting certain guys back out on the court, move guys into the rotation, etc., etc. And I wanted to share and comment on what some of you guys responded with on Twitter, starting with Billy Bands, at Billy Bands on Twitter. He said to start Reggie, Bradley, Tobias, AT, and Dre, and come off the bench with Ish, Galloway, Luke, Henry, and Boban. So the biggest change there would be bringing Anthony Tolliver into the starting lineup, moving Stanley Johnson not only still outside of the starting lineup, but moving him out of the rotation, basically, and no Reggie Bullock in that rotation as well, moving Boban Marjanovic and Henry Ellenson into the rotation too. My thoughts on Tolliver, and he did start the one game against the Spurs when they wanted to match him up with LaMarcus Aldridge there. AT, he's 32 years old. He's getting 18.7 minutes a game right now, which is right around his career average. He was actually playing a little bit more with Sacramento and scoring a little bit more last year. He practiced with a mask. He broke his nose in the first half of the game against Denver, but continued to play with it without the mask and had a broken nose. So, you know, what kind of guy and tough guy that Anthony Tolliver is. He's always been one of my favorites in the NBA since I followed him. I have a Springfield, Missouri tie because I lived there for 4 years and he's from there. So I have a little bit of an affinity, well, a lot of an affinity for Anthony Tolliver, and he's playing really well this year. But I think his effectiveness is kind of in small doses. That 18.7 minutes a game seems like a good one for him. If really, I'd kind of go the other way right now with Atlanta and Indiana coming up and he's got the broken nose. I might just kind of keep him out of the lineup for a couple days here, give him some rest. You're going to want Anthony Tolliver's energy throughout the season. And 32 years old, he's younger than me, so I'm not going to call him old. That's personally offensive for me. But I feel like you want to keep an eye on him because he's such an energy guy that you got to make sure that he's fresh throughout the rest of the year. I don't want to give him 25 or 30 minutes a game or something like that. I just don't think you're going to get the defensive energy that he brings. And if he loses his legs, that makes him less effective as an offensive player because his three-point shooting will be affected by that. So me, I'm keeping Anthony Tolliver's role at pretty much the same. Does he deserve to start? Is he probably the fifth best Piston right now this year? You know, I might say yes. I might agree with that. But I just don't see the upside in having Anthony Tolliver getting a lot more minutes right now. But I appreciate Billy Bands with the suggestion there. Moving on to Alex Garbarino, Dr. Garbs on Twitter. Thanks for dropping in. He says, Boban at backup center. Start Kennard over Stanley. Bring Stanley in for Bradley off the bench to preserve defense. And shift Kennard to the two in those lineups. And septioplasties and LASIK for the whole team. Trade Stan Van Gundy for Jeff Van Gundy. And sacrifice small animals. Hashtag winning. Alex, thanks for the suggestion. I appreciate it. Boban at backup center. Yeah, I think he's kind of earned the right to get more minutes. He's got the contract for it, and Stan Van Gundy was the one that signed it, so I think that he deserves a second look, and I think you're going to see a lot more of Boban going forward. Start Kennard over Stanley, that's a good suggestion, too. It's something I've talked about in the past. Stan Van Gundy made a good point the other day, though, when he said that you want to have Stanley Johnson in against starting lineups for the other team because those are going to be the best players, obviously. So Luke Kennard's defensive deficiencies will only show themselves more at the beginning of the first quarter and the beginning of the third quarter when you're going to be playing your starters and maybe in crunch time as well. So that's kind of an argument for keeping Stanley in the starting rotation over Luke Kennard or maybe even Reggie Bullock instead of Stanley in that starting lineup. But I like where your head's at, but I do see Kennard as more of a bench scorer, kind of a second unit kind of scorer for them, although I do think he could maybe see some more minutes with that top four, that starting group, maybe even crunch time a little bit. So I'd be interested to seeing that too. But yeah, good thoughts about having Stanley in there when Bradley's not in there to kind of keep the defensive effort up. And the septioplasties, like Drummond had the LASIK surgery, like Tobias Harris had. Yes, it definitely showed themselves early on as well. Stan Van Gundy for Jeff Van Gundy. I like that too because interestingly, maybe you saw this on Twitter or not the other night, but Jeff Van Gundy, during one of the broadcasts, called out the Pistons for being not a very tough-minded team, which is interesting to do when your brother's the coach of the team. But the Van Gundys, if you want to try to get into their head, it's going to be a long trip. But moving on to Jamon Alexander, he chimed in with a suggestion, unless a trade for a star is coming, put Stanley back in the starting five and stay the course. This is a good team. Jamon, I like it. I hate to be boring, and this it's a good suggestion, but also a boring suggestion. Stanley Johnson's not very good right now. He's not. He's been a disappointment as far as how high he was picked in the draft 3 years ago. That was a bad draft, by the way. So it's not like there was a lot of players that the Pistons missed out in taking the Arizona freshman so high. But he's their best option at three. He plays solid defense, and the offense is going to get better. Maybe he's still injured. Maybe that hip flexor and lower back, maybe that's causing him some problems. But Stan Van Gundy's got to really figure this one out. And I know there's people out there who probably think that Pistons fans and myself on Locked On Pistons talk about Stanley Johnson a little bit too much. But it probably is the easiest way to make this team more like they were in those first 20 games is to get him right. Whether that's a physical thing, whether that's an emotional thing, whether that's a skill-wise thing. And we've seen Stan Van Gundy talking to Stanley Johnson after practice the other day. We saw him get benched and only play in garbage time come the second half against the Denver Nuggets on Tuesday. I think Stan Van Gundy's got to really figure that one out. I would put, unless there's something else going on, I would get him back in the starting lineup And if he's really, really struggling like he has been lately, maybe sit him down after that and give Luke Kennard some more money, but or some more playing time, some more minutes there. So that's kind of what I would do. Again, a boring suggestion, and I'm not saying Stanley Johnson's the long-term answer. I'm not saying he's going to get a lot better and turn into this defensive stopper who can shoot the ball like he has during a few games this season at a consistent basis. I don't like the mechanics. I don't like the mechanics of anything he does offensively. I had a thought the other day, though, while I was watching him. And this is going to – I'm not comparing him – to him as a player, but the way that he moves, and I mean this is kind of an insult if anything else, the way that he kind of moves and his body works offensively, he kind of reminds me of Ron Artest offensively, in that he looks anything but polished, but he can be effective, just like the way he's a bigger guy, he's bulky, so the kind of the way he runs, the way he goes up for layups, and sometimes the way he even shoots. Check out the Pistons game with Stanley Johnson in there and let me know if you think my Ron Artest comparison, just by the way his body moves offensively. And it's clunky. Sometimes he kind of dribbles with the head down. He dribbles into no man's lands sometimes offensively. Keep an eye on that and let me know what you think. But thanks, Jamon, for the suggestion too. Nick Spencer says, trade for Wilson Chandler and Greg Monroe. He must be a podcast listener because that's a couple guys that we've talked about quite a bit as this season has gone on. But Wilson Chandler, the Benton Harbor guy from the Denver Nuggets, he's under contract for $12 million this year and has got a player option for $12.8 million next year. Yeah, I mean, he's a winner. He's the kind of guy you want playing offensively and defensively at a wing position. If you had him instead of Stanley Johnson, kind of at a small forward spot right now, that would make the Pistons a lot better. There's no doubt about that. But that's just, as we talked about with Duncan Smith last week on the podcast a little bit, that's the kind of move that would make the Pistons better this year. But you would have to give up assets to make that happen. And is it worth it to make moves that get the Pistons from being wherever they're at right now, and there's a debate about where they're at right now based on obviously the losing streak and the difference of where that is compared to where they were at the beginning of the season. But is it worth it to make the move to get them from, say, I don't know, a 7 seed of where they're at right now to up to maybe the middle of the Eastern Conference playoffs? Or if you're optimistic, if you think that they're maybe that 5 or 4 seed, to get them up to a 3 seed so they can get smashed by LeBron and Boston in the playoffs in the second round or something like that. You got Wilson Chandler, who is going to be a free agent either after this year or next year. It just doesn't seem like a great long-term move to make that kind of deal. Greg Monroe, on the other hand, Phoenix might be looking to shop him. And with Wilson Chandler, there's no indication that Denver wants to get rid of him. He seems like a guy that they like and they've given him minutes throughout his career. Maybe when Millsap and Jokic get back, maybe there are some less minutes for him on the front court, and maybe he is a guy that would become available. But Greg Monroe, he's got the history with the Pistons. There was a reason that the Pistons kind of got rid of Monroe, basically. I mean, and I know that was kind of a choice between Andre Drummond and Greg Monroe, and they made the obvious and good choice at that time. But Greg Monroe doesn't play a lot of defense. He's an offensive option in the paint, but with the Detroit Pistons and with Stan Van Gundy, I think you're seeing that you have to be a certain type of front court player to play on their team. Boban can't play defense as well as Eric Morland. And even though Boban's miles ahead of Eric Morland offensively, Morland was getting a lot more minutes earlier in the season. I think that tells you something about how Stan Van Gundy views his front court players. Henry Ellenson is very talented. We've seen the numbers from Grand Rapids. We've seen it offensively, bits and pieces from him, but he's not getting any run right now. He's not getting any rotational minutes. And Stan Van Gundy sees it too. He saw it in training camp when he was good. He saw it in the preseason when he was good, and he's seen flashes offensively for him. He's even kicked himself in post-game interviews for not giving him more minutes, but he still can't find a way to get into that rotation. And I think that tells you something about Stan Van Gundy. He doesn't want front court players who are in there unless he knows that they are certainly going to be the toughest guys on the block. So as mentioned earlier, as you probably know, on Saturday there's some great college basketball coming to downtown Detroit, Little Caesars Arena. I would definitely be there if I could. The Hitachi College Basketball Shootout should be a nice little homecoming for college basketball fans across the state. UAD taking on Michigan at noon. UAD had some tough luck losses recently to Western Michigan and Toledo. Had the nice win against SLU, St. Louis University, and Coach Travis Ford recently. Coach Bakari Alexander looking to get the Titans going in the right direction. I was a huge Titans fan back when Bakari was a player. Me and Joe Denowith used to go to the games on Saturday afternoons with his dad. I was part of the Junior Titans Club presented by Little Caesars, so I'd get the free slice of pizza when going to those Saturday afternoon games to watch Tony Tolbert and Jermaine Jackson and Rashad Phillips, Derek Hayes, Bakari Alexander, all those guys, as they had some pretty good teams back then. Carl Pickens, I'd be remiss not to mention. Ayapo Montgomery from Country Day. Went to a lot of those games growing up at Callahan Hall. Fun times, and watched them make some NCAA tournament runs as well. But Bakari Alexander was suspended for a few games. I think he's back now. Some shady circumstances. Nobody really quite knew why he was suspended. But Michigan just beat UCLA and Texas. They're 9-3, and their prospects appear to be improving for Coach John Beilein's team. Charles Matthews is a really good player, and Moritz Wagner obviously is a fun guy to watch and an easy guy to like as well. Michigan State and Oakland University will be playing at 2 o'clock after that. Coach Greg Campy's team from Rochester had one of their key guys suspended early, and they've had – so it led to some key missed opportunities for better showings against Syracuse and Kansas. And so it looks like now they were kind of one of the mid-major teams that people were talking about coming into the year as having maybe – a strong out of conference and could even maybe come in as an at-large team. But that ship apparently has sailed, so the Horizon League is the way to go to the NCAAs for them, and I hope they get there. They got a transfer from Illinois, Kendrick Nunn, who I saw last year with the Illini. He's a stud. He had some a domestic situation that got him kicked off Illinois, but Greg Campy took him in. But it looks like he's been in and out of the lineup a little bit for Oakland because of some injury issues. So hopefully he's able to play against Michigan State. And you know about the Spartans. Tom Izzo's got a bunch of studs this year, some lottery picks, and Miles Bridges and Jaren Jackson Jr., some really strong players to watch there. So I'll definitely be keeping an eye on those games as well. And then you got the Lions on Saturday afternoon as well. But keeping up with the suggestions from you guys, I got Fluffy Sock Ninja responding to Locked On Pistons saying, put it back the way it was before the tinkering started. All that's doing is messing up the continuity. I'm assuming he's talking mostly about sitting down Stanley Johnson and putting Reggie Bullock in there, and maybe getting back to earlier in the season with Eric Moreland in the rotation and Langston Galloway getting a little bit more run. I would agree on getting Langston Galloway back in there. His three-point shooting is a weapon, and he hasn't really done anything on the court to suggest that he has a reduction in minutes. I know the shots aren't falling like they were earlier in the season, but I like Langston Galloway out there getting minutes. Eric Moreland versus Boban, I'd tend to go with Boban because I feel like he adds something out there. Maybe there's a way to use both of them in limited spurts. I don't think you want to use Boban for more than 5 minutes at a time or so. But maybe if Drummond's in foul trouble and you need some defensive help down low, you could go with Moreland as more of an option there. The Stanley Johnson thing, we talked at length about it. You know, people are going to be polarized when it comes to Stanley, but I think that they should get him back in there because he's their best option. But not that he's a great option, but right now he's their best option. So next we got Brew. I am Brewster on Twitter. He says they can try a few things. I think they should explore what a trade of Tobias/Avery can garner. I also think they should try throwing Kennard in the starting lineup and some Galloway/Kennard no-ish bench rotations. Wouldn't mind trading for Derek Favors too. Going blow by blow here, Tobias and Avery, although they've struggled the last couple games, those are the two guys that kind of carried the good start. And I know Drummond is a huge part of that too, but those guys played so well early on in the season. Tobias has stepped up the shooting, especially early on in the year. Avery struggled offensively recently, but you know, Avery Bradley with obviously I think the Brewster, I am Brewster, is kind of thinking a little bit about the contract situations with Bradley coming up on free agency this summer. So if you like Avery Bradley, and most Pistons fans probably do, you got to keep in mind that you got to pay him a lot this summer. And defense isn't something that gets a lot better as someone's career goes on. Athleticism tends to fade a little bit. And so sometimes it's not like, I mean, guys can, you know, he's not getting old or anything like that, but he's not going to get a lot better as a defensive player. Whereas Tobias offensively, it seems like he's making a lot of strides and could be a guy that grows into even more of a complete scorer as time goes on. I think they should try throwing Kennard in the starting lineup, says I am Brewster. And, you know, another option, certainly. And like I said, I'd like to see him getting more minutes maybe with some of those guys. But putting him out there against some starters might cause some troubles. It might be a situation where Stan Van Gundy goes with a different guy from different matchups with that fifth starting spot. And I do think that starting spots sometimes get a little overblown. Like I've mentioned before, Michael Curry used to be a starter for this team and kind of laughably go to the bench halfway through the first quarter. And yeah, he was a starter, but he played, you know, 14 minutes or 9 minutes or something like that in a whole game back a long time ago for Pistons fans. So getting Galloway and Kennard out there without Ish on the bench rotations, it's interesting because Galloway was kind of billed as a guy who could play some point guard, and he hasn't really done that for the Pistons. They've pretty much had Reggie Jackson and Ish Smith on the court at all time, or Ish Smith on the court at all times. So we haven't had Galloway out there handling the ball. It's an interesting thing to think about that would certainly keep teams off kilter a little bit defensively, because when Ish Smith's out there, obviously you don't have to watch out for his three-point shooting prowess, but he brings along his own set of challenges for a defensive unit as well. Derek Favors, he's an expiring contract right now. I looked it up. He's got $12 million left on his deal with Utah. I don't see any reason why Utah would want to trade Favors. He's a starter for them. He's getting minutes like he has throughout his entire career with the team out there in Utah. So I don't quite know why. And it's another one of those moves that, yeah, we'd all love to have Derek Favors. 26 years old. He was banged up last year with knee problems, and he looked like kind of an old man in the playoffs against the Clippers there. But he's a tough guy down low and a load for anyone to have to deal with. So certainly we would like to have Derek Favors on our team, but that would be a major move. Maybe he's talking about packaging Tobias and Avery for something like Favors and maybe a little bit more that Utah would give up too. Brew also brought up a poll that he had on Twitter yesterday about Stan Van Gundy. Would he accept a Sam Presti trade offer where it was Paul George from the Oklahoma City Thunder for Tobias and Avery Bradley, and maybe do something to match up those contracts? I didn't take a look at that in the trade machine or anything like that, but he kind of had a poll out there for the Pistons fans to look at. Had 285 votes, with 55% of them saying go to hell, Presti, whereas 45% of them said yes, 1,000 times yes. Now you're never going to have Pistons fan bases get away from trades like this. It's the classic like couple of spare parts for a superstar out there move, because we see around the league that the best teams have superstars on them. And that isn't the case for the Pistons right now. And that isn't the case for the Pistons from the Chauncey Billups-Ben Wallace era. Would you trade Avery Bradley for Tobias Harris? Avery Bradley and Tobias Harris for Paul George? Paul George is a free agent this coming summer, so obviously you'd want to have some assurances or some indications whether he would sign in the long term. I don't know. I mean, if you were talking about just those two players for just that one player as far as that making our team better this year, I would probably say yes, especially considering that their options for backup twos are better than any kind of option that the Pistons have at the three right now. So that would kind of take care of your biggest problem, which is small forward, and be taking away from what are positions of strength with your four and your two. But obviously you'd be taking away two of your four best players and making Paul George now your new best player. But I don't know. I mean, it seems like I don't think Oklahoma City's trading Paul George. They made a calculated move to try to get things going, and I know that they're struggling right now. It's a team that isn't finding the mix with Carmelo Anthony, who's been not very good, and Paul George and Russell Westbrook, and it's kind of a mess. And maybe Oklahoma City does make a move at some point, but I just don't see Paul George fitting in with the Pistons, with a team that's young and doesn't really have a lot of allure in terms of signing a superstar for the long term this summer. So I'm going to say no. And if I'm staying Van Gundy, I think that that's kind of a panic move. I think that that's not really thinking about where this team is going in about a 3 or 4 year span. But I want to thank everyone again for chiming in and doing my work for me with some suggestions on how to fix the Pistons on Twitter on Locked On Pistons. Thanks again for joining us, everyone. Tomorrow we're going to have a full recap of the Atlanta game, and we're going to look ahead to the Pacers on Friday night. Pistons, go get that win tonight so I don't have to worry about screaming and cussing on the Locked On Pistons podcast on Friday. So have a good one, everyone.